feel like I should have brought a paddle with June's face and held it while I presented. So I'm going to start the presentation today with a discussion about a child care outbreak that occurred in Clackamas County, Oregon, which actually prompted June, or the state of Oregon, to look at child care exclusion practices around the U.S. So Clackamas County, along with state partnership, identified three cases of E. coli 0157H7 in a child care center. The first case was reported about mid-September 2014 through our routine state surveillance system. Local health identified the case attended child care. This first case continued to shed E. coli for a month, although they were no longer symptomatic, and this child was never hospitalized. On October 10, 2014, a second case of Shigatoxin-producing E. coli was reported to local health. This case attended the same child care center but had many notable risk factors that included unpasteurized cider consumption, a petting zoo visit, and home-slaughtered beef consumption. This child was hospitalized and developed HUS. This second case prompted an outbreak investigation by county and state officials. County Health found that the two children were in separate classrooms, but did have some risk factors that overlapped outside of school, like a splash fountain exposure in a neighborhood park, as well as a school potluck. On the 30th of October, a third case of Shigatoxin-producing E. coli was identified from active surveillance at the child care center. Local health officer, environmental health, and state epidemiologists visited the center to educate families on illness and prevention. Screening of all attendees was discussed at this point. So previous to the third case that was reported, they conducted a hypothesis-generating questionnaire with the two families. High-risk foods were tested, which included the unpasteurized cider, as well as the home-slaughtered meat from the second case. Cases were PFGE matches. Any individuals that reported symptoms were advised to seek medical evaluation and testing, and if necessary, testing was facilitated through public health. Starting on the 2nd of November, all children and staff at the center were screened with stool samples, either submitted through public health or their primary care provider. If requested, children of staff members or siblings who did not attend the school were also tested. Investigation of the center found that they had a large outdoor play space that had a vegetable garden, chickens, outdoor cats, and a dig pit that older children would play in and dig in. Cases 1 and 3 could have used the area in the play yard, but the school director reported that they did not typically play in the dig pit area. The play spaces for younger children and older children were actually separated by a low fence. Drinking water at the facility, they were on well water, which was also tested, and several indoor and outdoor swabs were taken at the facility. They concluded that this was not a person-to-person spread, and screening of ill staff and students after the third illness that was reported did not identify additional cases of E. coli 0157H7. So this graph shows the increasing rate of non-0157 STEC infections, which is labeled here as other type, in Oregon. Though additional studies are needed, 0157, a Shigatoxin 2 producer, results in more severe morbidity and mortality and is most commonly associated with HUS. Many laws and practices are based on the more severe 0157 illness. However, recent outbreaks have shown that other serotypes can be associated with HUS. So Shigatoxin-producing E. coli is one of a handful of pathogens that restricts cases from school and work and requires proof of a cure to return. Laboratories are adopting culture-independent diagnostic tests for diagnosis, which have increased sensitivity. However, case counts of non-0157 STEC infections are causing an increased burden on public health and on families. We did not identify any additional cases, though we screened all workers and attendees, or they screened all workers and attendees at great expense. Therefore, they conducted a lit review of the practices of other public health jurisdictions. During a 2011 outbreak in Norway, they closed a daycare after two cases were reported, and they screened all 91 children and 40 staff. Screening identified 10 cases, three of which were asymptomatic. Following the rules of up to five negative stools, these children were excluded from care for a minimum of 53 days. Screening can produce unanticipated results with socioeconomic consequences. Daycare exclusion policies should be reviewed to address the management of prolonged asymptomatic shedders. The duration of shedding STEC after symptoms have ceased varies, and only limited information is available for non-0157 strains. The median duration of shedding reported by previous outbreaks in childcare facilities have been found between 20 and 50 days. Culture-independent diagnosis tests may complicate the application of control measures, which in Norway are currently based on the knowledge of virulence profiles in serogroups, which is not available by PCR alone. Therefore, more rigorous control measures than are necessary may be implemented pending further information and the time before a sufficient number of consecutive tests are negative. In Oregon, a childcare study of O26 shedding and secondary transmission, no severe illness was noted and duration of shedding was 15 to 49 days with a median of 29 days. An English study of 201 childcare centers found secondary transmission only occurred in 7% of centers, and children were excluded for a median of 39 days. This study suggests that guidelines should be revised. So this made us wonder what other state practices are for Shigatoxin-producing E. coli infections in childcare. So overall, the response rate was pretty good, which you would hope. 76% of the states did respond. Over half, about 50%, or 53%, excuse me, had Shigatoxin-producing E. coli exclusion statutes or regulations. Others had no statutes or regulations per se, but did have policies. 89% of those required two negative stools for return to care. Nine only required negative stools for serogroup 0157. No respondents required more than two negatives. Using 24 hours between specimen was also common among states. Many states accepted the culture-independent diagnostic test to be used to exclude until reflux culture is back and negative or positive. States are in various stages of updating their guidance with the use of the culture-independent diagnostic test. Most, 74%, would not allow asymptomatic shedders to return to care, though many states indicated that this would be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. In many states, the decision to return to care is made in conjunction with the local health jurisdiction. In Oregon, as many other states, practices vary once something is considered an outbreak and additional resources are required to investigate. What to call an outbreak varied from state to state, but most use the two incubation periods between cases as a baseline for determination if something is a cluster that needs investigation. In the opening Oregon case study, you'll remember that the cases were over two incubation periods, over the two incubation period rule. Many states commented that this was reviewed on case-by-case basis depending on the epi and lab data, and that they would investigate a cluster initially and then might turn it into an outbreak. Some commented that they would need to be from separate households. These practices did not change whether it was 0157 or non-0157 STEC. Concluding an outbreak investigation was done on case-by-case basis, but most states would use the two maximum incubation period as a starting point. Screening practices also were reviewed case-by-case, depending on the investigation. Only seven states reported that they would screen all attendees, regardless of symptoms, and most states reported screening on symptomatic attendees and staff or staff. 11 states reported their practices varied by whether the cases were in preschool or school-aged, and most had a stronger policy if it was a childcare center with diaper-aged children. Once again, many reported this would be evaluated case by case. So in conclusion, Shigatoxin-producing E. coli infections in childcare settings varied among states. Many states are updating or reconsidering practices based on the arrival of an interpretation of the culture-independent diagnostic tests and potentially Shigatoxin profile of the organism. In Oregon's experience, asymptomatic screening was very resource-intensive and did not identify additional cases. Routine guidance for STEC infections in Oregon would identify and encourage screening of any contacts in childcare or elsewhere. Not surprisingly, practices and control measures are situation-specific and require knowledge of the pathogen, the epi, and hypothesis of how illness is being transmitted in a particular situation. Additional studies and research on these practices are needed. Because laboratories are adopting culture-independent diagnostic tests, for diagnosis, case counts of non-0157 STEC infections are increasing, and there's a potential for this to result in additional burden on public health and families and a significant economic impact.